I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, rethinking faith-based initiatives. Senator Barack Obama says he wants to keep this Bush administration initiative with some refinements, but others think the whole idea is just wrong. We'll talk with two members of the clergy about these initiatives in a few minutes. But first, we want to talk about the political dust-up that was actually sparked by Senator Obama's proposals. Last week, the Reverend Jesse Jackson was a guest on a Fox News talk show. During a break, another guest asked him his opinion of Senator Obama's ideas about faith-based initiatives, and the civil rights leader complained that Senator Obama, quote, talks down to black people, end quote. And he also added a profane quip, which Fox later aired. Reverend Jackson has spent the last couple of days on a round robin of interviews to apologize for the remark, an apology Senator Obama has accepted. But the incident raises questions about whether Reverend Jackson's underlying critique is shared by other African Americans. Joining us to talk about this are Ron Lester. He is a polling and public opinion expert, and Laura Washington, a columnist with the Chicago Sun-Times. Welcome to you both. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Laura, let me start with you. First of all, what's your reaction to what Reverend Jackson had to say? I mean, often the reason I ask is because you've known Reverend Jackson for a long time. You're in Chicago, and you have exposure to both the public and the private man. What's your reaction to what he had to say? What do you think was going on there?
Well, I don't think I was surprised. It was surprising, I think, to a lot of people on a couple levels. One, the frankness and earthiness of the comment, even though he apparently didn't realize he was on tape. It was a pretty down kind of a thing for a minister to say. I wasn't surprised by that because I have seen Reverend Jackson in many settings, and he's a guy who likes to mix it up. So that the nature of that didn't surprise me. The issue of his having differences with Barack Obama, again, shouldn't surprise anyone who's been watching him and listening to his utterances. You know, he's been a reluctant supporter of Barack Obama from the very beginning, and as you know, even in his own family, there's a lot of differences. But there were differences between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in terms of who was supporting whom. He's been critical, semi-critical of Obama in the past. So I wasn't surprised that he had this difference with Obama on this particular issue. But it's an ongoing problem. Obama, I think a big reason why he has a problem with Obama is because Obama has not been able to really bring him full-fledged into his campaign. He's kept him at a distance, and that really irritates and angers.
Okay, well, why don't we talk about that in a minute? I want to ask Ron about the substance of Reverend Jackson's comments, apart from the inappropriate profanity, which he agrees was inappropriate. One that Senator Obama talks down to is talking down to African Americans in his comments about personal responsibility and that his interest in faith-based initiatives is misplaced. Do you think that other people feel this way? Do you think other African American leaders feel this way?
I think some people may feel that way, but I think what's important here is what do the voters feel. And the voters are very, very supportive of Barack Obama. Senator Obama is the most popular political figure in the history of American politics. Right now, he has a favorable rating up in the 80s and an unfavorable rating below 5. And his appeal is so strong among African people, not just African Americans, it extends overseas. I was in St. Martin a couple of weeks ago at a talent show, and one of the questions was, who's the most popular man in the world? And the answer was Barack Obama. So Barack Obama has done a lot to raise the aspirations and the hope of African American people, of people, Africans in the diaspora around the world. It's been a truly remarkable, extraordinary phenomenon. So I don't think that this has affected him in any way. I think that these comments were unfortunate. I think it was there's no place in politics for these kind of comments, but they haven't affected his standing at all.
And I take your point about the importance of kind of grassroots opinion and the voters' opinion versus that of, say, elites and opinion leaders. But opinion leaders sometimes do matter, and sometimes they do diverge from grassroots opinion. So I wanted to ask Ron again, do you think that there's a concern among people who follow policy, who are opinion leaders, that perhaps as I said before, Senator Obama's interest in these kinds of programs is not what they want to see.
Well, of course there is. I mean, there are some people that disagree with Senator Obama. There's some people that think he's moved too quickly to the middle to centrist positions. But I tell you something. Black people generally take centrist positions on most issues. If you take this FISA bill, for instance, where Obama is on the bill now, it's where most Black Americans are. They're very concerned about tourism and having another 9-1-1. If you take the D.C. handgun bill, there are a lot of Black people who are very concerned about their Second Amendment rights, that the criminal element in Washington, D.C. has guns, and they haven't been able to legally have guns. So there's a lot of support for the position that he took among African Americans. So I think a lot of the criticism about Senator Obama is inside baseball. It's inside baseball. It's an argument that you hear inside the Beltway, but when you go out into the real America, you don't hear those criticisms. And in terms of personal responsibility, that's essentially the Bill Cosby argument, and there's a lot of support for that in my African Americans.
I want to play a short clip of Reverend Jackson clarifying his remarks. As I said, he apologized for the inappropriateness and the crudeness of his quip, but speaking to the substance, he's given a lot of interviews. One he gave to our colleagues at News and Notes here yesterday at NPR. This is what he said.
We need a broader message to include the crisis of jobs out, guns and drugs, and we need a broader message to restructure our economy to put America back to work. That's my passion, and my passion for this campaign remains undaunted.
Laura, I wanted to ask you two questions. First, given the tone of his earlier remarks about, you know, what he wanted to do to Senator Obama involved a crude reference to cutting a part of his anatomy. Is his statement that he has passion for Obama's campaign credible? And do other politicians, political leaders in Chicago share some of Reverend Jackson's reservations about the direction that the campaign is going?
Yeah, as Ron has pointed out, I think there are the thought leaders and the policy types and political leaders who are reluctant. But you have to remember, they've been reluctant all along. There was a lot of skepticism, even in Chicago, especially among the older generation of civil rights leaders, folks like Reverend Jackson, that Barack Obama could do this. And so they've been sort of dragged along all the way along. I think that crude reference that Reverend Jackson made related, I think, again, to his feeling that Obama hasn't paid his dues, that Obama hasn't given enough deference to him and people like him, and he's got to come to the table and deal with us. I think that's really what he was trying to say. You know, you can't go off on your own and do this without giving a nod to the civil rights movement, to how it got you to where you've gotten now. He has said that repeatedly. You've got to come to our table. The problem is that Barack Obama doesn't have to do that right now. As Ron said, he is in the driver's seat, and because he is expressing the broad message that Reverend Jackson just discussed, that's why he's in the driver's seat.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the Reverend Jesse Jackson's critical comments about Senator Barack Obama with Chicago Sun-Times columnist Laura Washington and pollster Ron Lester. Ron, Laura referenced something of a generation gap, saying that there's a sort of a gap between leaders of the civil rights generation like Reverend Jackson and younger African Americans like Obama. It's been kind of a recurring theme in this campaign. Do you see a generation gap among the voters in the best way to address the kinds of problems that they're both men are interested in?
Well, clearly there is. Senator Obama is about 20 years younger than Reverend Jackson. I think it would be fair to say that Reverend Jackson and his generation opened up the doors for people like Senator Obama to serve. But there are differences on issues. There are differences in style. There are differences in terms of message. Senator Obama's message is a broad-based message. He's not running to be president of Black America. He's running to be president of all Americans. So his message is all-inclusive, and he's done a very good job in that era. Senator Obama's candidacy makes me think that perhaps we're entering into almost a post-racial era. And when I say that, I'm not saying that race is not important. Of course it is. But I'm saying that it's less important than it has been in the past. And his success, his candidacy, is the personification of that. And I think that a lot of Black people and white people would really like to get race behind us and evaluate politicians and our leaders on the content of their character, as Martin Luther King said. So I think that you do have two very different styles of politics with Reverend Jackson and with Senator Obama. But they'll end up together, and Senator Obama has accepted Reverend Jackson's apology, and hopefully we'll see Reverend Jackson on the campaign trail for Senator Obama.
But I want to push this question of, do you think there's a general philosophical difference about approaches, or is this fundamentally stylistic and perhaps personal? A sense, like Laura suggested, that, you know, maybe some of the folks who've been around a while are not happy about being pushed to the margins?
Well, I think there's a little bit of both. But I think that you take Congressman Jackson. A lot of the positions that Congressman
Jackson— Who's Reverend Jackson's son.
That's his son. A lot of the positions that he's taken have been very different from Reverend Jackson. And I think a lot of it is generational. Senator Obama has often referred to it as the Joshua generation. Joshua came behind Moses and had a different mission. So, yes, there are significant differences. There are differences, for example, over charter schools that are very clear between the two and the role of vouchers, et cetera. So there are some major differences in policy. But on 95% of the issues, the Reverend Jackson generation and the Congressman Jackson, Senator Obama generation agree. They agree a lot more than they disagree.
Laura, final question to you. Is this a— – oh, mm-hmm. Go ahead if you wanted to answer that question.
No,
I wanted to ask you whether you think this is a lasting story or this is just another blip in the campaign trail. Laura.
Well, you never know. I was interviewed about this last night, and someone asked me, is Barack Obama done with his reverend problems now? This is the third minister or priest, as it were, who's made trouble for him. I think there's going to be continuing discomfort with the Reverend Jackson generation. But I also think that overall, I think most African-American voters and many voters in general see this as a pragmatic decision. We don't agree with Barack Obama on every position he's taken, but we see him as being our best hope for the White House. He's obviously qualified. He's obviously the right person. And so we're going to put our differences on the side. We're going to put them behind us and get this man elected, and then we'll work them out once we've got someone who we think is our advocate in the White House.
Laura Washington is a columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times. She joined us from member station WBEZ in Chicago. Ron Lester is a veteran political pollster. He joined us in our Washington studio. I thank you both so much.
Anytime, Michelle.
And happy Friday. Thank you.